Hello. Thank you for joining us today for the Harvest Time Church weekly podcast. As you listen today, we pray that you are richly blessed and that the message would guide you deeper into your walk with Jesus and help you to advance his kingdom here on earth. Have a blessed day.
So this morning we are starting a new series. This series is going to be focusing on combating the compromises of culture. Now, when we talk about culture, I want you to catch the heart of this series, the heart of what we're going to do, what we're going to say. And how many of you know that culture is continually changing? You know, some stuff's getting better, some stuff's getting worse. Some stuff, it's one inch from derailing, okay? You know, you look at all of the things going on. Maybe it's political, maybe it's morals and values, maybe it's the... And I'm just going to say this. I mean, I don't think it's all churches, but possibly even some of it is to blame the complacency of the church, not being proactive, not speaking truth, maybe just kind of trying to accommodate what is popular or what's ideal, not trying to offend anybody, right? Have any of you ever went to church and never been offended? Okay, so at some point, like, we decided, well, if you offend me, now it's wrong, okay? Like, playground fights, you know, your mama jokes, it don't matter what it is, right? There's always been opportunity to be offended in our past. All of a sudden, we're a little bit thinner skinned and everybody can be heard and we got to be accommodating of everybody. But let me tell you what, growing up with a hard culture, it built us with some skin on, right? We're not going to be easily swayed, you know. You know, we were looking at the different generations, and I don't know if you know what generation we're in, but we had the baby boomers, Gen X, millennials, Gen Z, and the youngest ones are Generation Alpha. Those are born after 2012. You know, so we have all of these generations. If we look at the generational gaps, the generations of how they're lined up, my generation, which is the millennials, was born from 1981 to 1996, and we make up 30% of the population, and we are the greatest percentage. Not a bad thing, but guess what? I'll tell you what, it's in a tipping scale because, like, if our generation, my generation, doesn't do what we're supposed to do, not saying the Gen Z can't figure it out, but Gen Z is having a hard time figuring it out. Well, what happens when Gen Z doesn't figure it out and they're trying to figure out what to lead Gen Alpha into? This is what I talk about, where the whole system begins to derail. So I'm not going to do the blame game. I'm not going to say coulda, shoulda, woulda, well, if we would have done this, but I will tell you, if the church will be what the church is supposed to be, if parents will communicate what needs to be communicated, you know, if we will work on ourselves and do our best to honor our family and God, that'll change a lot of things, okay? We'll quit being selfish. We'll do all of these things to help align, but we have to understand that culture is not our friend. Culture is not going in the direction of maybe what honors God. So when we talk about the compromises of culture, know that it is real. Know that there's a lot at stake. If you think it's bad right now, it could get way worse if we don't change the trajectory of what we're doing and we don't start combating this culture in a healthy, proactive way, okay? I'm just going to unapologetically say that the world has probably done a better job speaking out than the church. We've tolerated it in the vein of not wanting to hurt people, and we're going to love people and we're going to accept, and you know, but we've allowed a tolerance that has allowed, you know, somebody's going to lead. Somebody's going to speak out. Somebody's going to take the first move. Why should it not be the church? Okay, so when we think about these things, you know, now is the time. And I really feel like, big picture, you know, the church is at a deficit right now. But that doesn't mean that we are defeated. Okay, that doesn't mean it's over. That doesn't mean, well, we're too far behind, we can't catch up. Oh, no, there's always a way to catch up. We just each need to make a calibration, adjust what we're doing, and make a goal of changing the future by contributing, realizing what is culturally correct, what is based on a biblical worldview, what is based on a worldly worldview, and we have to understand that our worldview matters, okay? So as we look at this, we have to understand that we have all been affected by what is called the information age. But the information age, it's always, always changing. So phase one of the information age was the newspaper, the radio, and the television. This was what programmed. This is what told you what was right. This is what told you what was going on in the world. And then phase two was internet, satellite, computers, and mobile phones. On the front of this, how many of you remember dial-up? Ooh, buddy, you think your phone service is slow. Come on. You thought you're getting something done. It's just booting up, right? A little tone's going, and God forbid it shut down on you, right? You know, like, The internet is so stable. And then phase three, you know, we got into this social, this digital age with new media. Now, when I say new media, this is stuff never done before with the advances of internet, satellites, and these are the social media platforms that are now readily available. If you were to pull out your phone today, I guarantee you there are some of these apps, there are some of these media platforms readily available to you, okay? So this information, it's now available. It's in the palm of your hand. How many of you have not made the leap to smartphones? Can you raise your hand? Thank you very much, okay? We are 100% connected with the information age. I got one kind of point to some people. So there might be a few, but most of us have made the leap to the social media, the media platform age, and we have to understand with this, this is a great tool, but it can be our worst enemy. It can be used to help, and it can be used to hurt. Okay, all of these things. But social media platforms, they're now the most popular way of receiving information. You know, I was actually, I guess I can say this because I think the court thing was over, but when they, you know, when they're selecting the jury, you know what they asked me this time? Never had this happen. They said, hey, where do you get your news from? The news, right? Like, no, that's not what they're asking. How many of you get your news from Facebook? Wham, the whole, and I'm like, how about Instagram? Boom. And they're sitting there, da, 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 da. You know, they're writing down, and I guess they were eliminating anybody that was going to be swayed by social media. Because what do we know about social media? How many of you know it's always 100% accurate? Right? He said, she said. What social media has done, it gives everybody a voice, even the idiots, right? It's not just credible sources posting things. Now, I tell you what, I know other people read what I write, so I try to never write dumb stuff. Other people don't do that. They feel like it is a freedom of speech avenue to say whatever, to crucify somebody verbally. And I'm just like, man, you know they can screenshot that? You know, you can't get that back once you throw it out there. And it's really crazy how fast things can change, how fast communication. How many of y'all didn't know about the eclipse? You didn't know? Man, one. Facebook fees, everybody is talking about schools. I thought we were going to shut down. No, they weren't shutting down. But everything, you know, they were spending the whole day. You know, so the information, when things are happening, this information age has allowed information to travel faster than ever. Right? Any of you are a part of city chats? Like, tells what's going on in the community? I know Bay City just built a new one. This one's called the non-biased group. And then I saw them say, but if you're mean, we're going to kick you out. I was like, that's fine. Okay. So we know this information age is social media, all this stuff. So in 2024 in the U.S., the top four contenders of the most popular social media platforms are Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. Top four as of 2024. This ain't weather.com. This isn't like your stuff that like we should be caring about. This is social media. These are things that are ingraining culture, invading thoughts. It's all of these things that are like fighting for our attention, okay? We may not like to admit it, but what we give our minds to affects the way we think. I'm just telling you, like we think, you know, I think a lot of us think that we are mindlessly scrolling, right? Which we know that's how the algorithms are set up, but it is programming something. I'll tell you, how many of you have bought something because of something popped up and you saw and you thought it was really cool, right? So advertising, marketing, but, you know, there's a lot of, you know, conversational speeches with dialogues that come up, but all of these things, whether we want to admit it or not, they are affecting the way we think, okay? Now, this is a free place to share our opinions, and it doesn't matter if it's right or wrong. So what happens when we are choosing to believe what we're reading or what we're looking at, and we begin to base everything we hear as fact? Well, I heard this the other day. You know, I guess I can say these young people because I ain't as young as I used to be, so that's maybe not me. But I'll tell you, know, they'll say, hey, I heard this. I was like, where'd you hear it? I heard it on TikTok. And I was like, okay, no, who'd you hear it from? Because the credible source matters, right? Where you get that information. Not every information you get is good information. But what we let in, it affects the mindset, which in turn creates a cultural perspective. If we're basing it on what's popular, what's cool, what's trendy, I've really been sucked into these home renovations lately. It's got to be social media because, like, I'm not seeing it. Man, look how the before and afters is crazy. I'm talking ugly bathrooms. Right? Turn it into something I would sit in all day. right? You know, it's nice. And, you know, but like, tell me that's not affecting, like, man, I'm like, man, what can we do with that? And like, you're always wanting to change things. You're not content. You want to buy new things. You're walking around the frou-frou girly stores thinking, looking at decor. It's affecting the way you think. I promise I can vouch for it. So, but what we look at, what we think about, what we're continually setting before our eyes is what sets that worldview. It's what sets that mindset. And what is dangerous is when we accept all of these things and we don't have a filter for which we process things. We just let it in, and we take it as absolute truth. You know, it's kind of, we have any finicky eaters in the room? Finicky eaters, like you're like, I ain't eating none of that. So what we do when we open ourselves up to social media, it's like you're willing to eat anything I put in your mouth. Unless you're like, no, I'm going to control that. I'm not, no, get it out of my face. Like, you know, unless we take control of that, we are going to be susceptible. Just like, you know, we need to be finicky. We need to be rather consistent in what we allow in, what we believe, what we don't believe, what we support, what we don't support. Okay? So our worldview, our mindset, okay? Let's talk about that a little bit more. So your worldview, by definition, is the framework of ideas and beliefs through which an individual or group interprets the world and interacts with the world. Every time you see something, every time you hear something, you think through a previous thought or you think through a thought process. Okay? Anybody ever burned themselves with a skillet or a pan or touched something hot? How many of you know when you're around a hot pan, you now react differently because of that past experience? But you could tell somebody's never been burnt. Like, what are you doing? Like, oh, I don't know. You get burned once and then you learn. Like, so what happens, what we expose ourselves to, the way we think affects the balance of what we do and what we don't do. So it shapes what we believe as truth or reality. That's what this worldview is, or a mindset. So worldviews shape our physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual dimensions of our lives. Okay? Worldviews, they focus on answering questions such as these, like your origin and your design. Where did I come from? That's a worldview. And I guarantee you, if we opened it up to the world, we are going to get a whole bunch of different answers to that. We can't assume that everybody is going to have a biblical-based worldview. Like, oh, this is what God said, and in the beginning, God, like, you know, that's not everybody's thought process. So you have origin, you have design, you have destiny. You know, where am I going? What am I supposed to do? Your purpose? Why am I here? Your values? What should I do when I'm here? How should I live? And the truth. Ooh, that's a hard one. What is truth? No. Right? It's something that used to be really, really simple, and now it's a little more complex. I want to say if we would have stayed maybe where some of the founding fathers of the original churches began with biblical values, but we have to understand there's been an infiltration of extra sources, of extra content, of more information than we've ever wanted. And all of those things affect that. What is truth? You know? All right. So your worldview, understand this, is continually shaped throughout our lifetimes. In my opinion, there's two great influencers of our worldview in the Western culture. There is a secular perspective and there is a biblical perspective. And that's, you're like, well, no, there's probably more. But you can subdivide the secular with the biblical. Okay, but when we're going to divide the two, when we're talking about these worldviews, we want to separate biblical worldview from secular worldview. I'm just going to simplify it because, man, I'm being really careful because this is not my number one. Oh, I'm ready to preach this. I know all about, like, but these are things we need to know about. We need to be informed about these things, right? But the biblical worldview, we have to understand that it starts with God. It says that there is a God, and this is a God who is personal, powerful, and caring. He created the world and everything in it. That's the basis of a biblical worldview. But a secular worldview is more the I need to see it to believe it kind of philosophy. This is where we get into this Big Bang theory, evolution, seeing is believing. What I believe is true. I have to see it. I have to touch it. I have to experience it, right? You know, everything is based kind of like in a controlled environment. I have to see it to understand it. So this secular worldview, it's formulated by the human mind, okay? This is usually through science or experience, but a biblical worldview is based on the reality revealed through God's word, period, okay? Now, I know there's some things in there that we look at and we're like, well, it says this. Is that still relevant? Let me tell you a good way of learning and teaching and understanding the Bible. Don't base it on one passage of Scripture. Look across the biblical patterns throughout all of Scripture. and then make an educated guess. Don't just take one. We want to look for consistency, consistency, consistency. Old Testament, New Testament, what changed, what remained, what is sin, and make sure that we don't kind of twist it or manipulate or just use a portion of it to control the outcome of what we want. Okay, we really want to look at it. What did the Bible say? What did it mean? And looking to the Bible for those answers, okay? So when we look at the biblical worldview, its truths include God's standards and His design. We see all of those things. Also know this, that education is never worldview neutral. That's why there's Christian colleges. There's why there's different, you know, places you can go. Education is never worldview neutral. That, you know, that means they're not going to have a bias. That bias is always going to be communicated by the speaker. All right, if I wasn't a Christian, if I wasn't a pastor, if I wasn't a student of the Word, let me tell you, my worldview perspective may be totally different, maybe more secular than biblical. But because of the context of the person leading the discussion or leading the teaching and coming from a biblical-based perspective, how many of you know that's going to promote a biblical worldview? I'm just telling you, like, when you might get mad, well, you always talking about what the Bible says. Biblical worldview. I'm sorry, like, that's what the Bible says. I didn't write it. I'm just helping you try to understand it and that we might all apply those things. But education, it's never neutral. We need to be asking our kids questions. Hey, what'd you learn today? So, you know, science and different things. And I was talking to Becky about how the schools are changing. They ain't got textbooks no more. I was talking to my kids about lockers. They're like, you had a locker? I was like, yeah, I had a locker. We were toting all these books around. You had to drop them off. We didn't want to be like a camel in the desert carrying all these books all day. Like, they don't have books. That, you know, everything is digital. Everything is, you know, like, you know, through digital platforms and online teaching and all of these things. Like, boom, mind-boggling, right? You know, so before you can actually look at the textbook and be like, oh, when you get to this chapter, let me know. I'm going to tell you what the truth is because that's 100% against Scripture. It's digital. I mean, I'm sure there's ways of checking what's being taught, but I don't know what in the world they're learning. I'm asking, like, everybody's shrugging their shoulders now. But I guess they're being educated, right? They're right. I was like, I got to vouch for, you know, like, there's a plan. There's a method to the madness, but it has changed. You know, but we have to understand that we as parents can't just allow the schools to indoctrinate our kids in principles that are unbiblical. If you're like, well, just listen to your teacher. Be careful, okay? Things that are supported in Scripture, that's fine. You know, things that are contrary to what Scripture says, I'd be really careful and just say, hey, listen, here's what the Bible says. Here's what your mommy and daddy believe. And, you know, we always go back to that biblical perspective because we can't expect the educators at large to teach biblical principles. It's probably going to be more secular worldview than it is biblical worldview. You guys see the risk here. This is why it matters. This is why we have to have this conversation. This is why we need to look at these things. In the Bible, you know, it says that Jesus has called us to be separate. He's called us to separate ourselves from everybody else. In Matthew 5, 13 and 16, it says that you are the salt and the light of the world. You know, Jesus told us to be this. So be different. You know, don't cut yourself off so far from the world that you can't help infiltrate the world, right? We can isolate ourselves and stand back, but we can actually make an influence. Do you understand? You can't be salt and light from the distance. You know, man, after church, don't run to your house and lock the door, like not letting anybody, like go to the restaurant, have conversations in the workplace, around your friends. Like, you know, we're called to be influencers. You know, social media today, it has you gaining followers and you're following influencers. And they affect the way you think, and even sometimes they challenge what you believe. I feel like I'm pretty solid in my faith, but sometimes somebody will say some stuff, and I'm like, man, that's something to really think. I mean, I've never even thought that hard. You know, they'll bring some up, man, I've just never even thought about that. Like, you know, like now I'm not trying to get lost in the weeds either, but they get out there with doctrines or what about this? And I was like, it doesn't really matter. Sorry if you thought this eclipse, Jesus was going to come back during the eclipse. There was all kinds of stuff. This is it. This is the end. I said, if it's the end, okay. If it's not, we'll keep the course. It's okay, right? You know, like, man, there was people like, hey, but you don't understand. And man, I was listening to something. Somebody in the church let me listen to something. That, listen to what they, and they had all these facts. They were putting all together. And I just look at it and I was like, may God's will be done. They don't say it in the Bible. Some good science, some good fact-checking, all that stuff. I don't know, but it's hard to wrap my mind around. But we have people we follow. We think about that. We have followers. How many friends you got? How many followers you got? Some of y'all got a lot, right? You like it. You're like, yeah, I got a lot of friends. Yeah, you got a lot of people that are supposedly following you. You send one text, I need help now, and none of them would follow or I'd show up. But, you know, there is this popular influencers. How many of you have heard this influence movement? People are making billions of dollars being influencers. I was like, God, I got to figure out what that is and start doing that. Influencers, they are influencing people. They are getting sponsored. They are communicating. They are doing these things. And they are influencing, I would say, the younger generation at large, okay? So as the church, as the people of God, we are to separate ourselves. We are to be separate. It is to be visual. It is to be obvious. 2 Timothy 4:3-5. Sorry, that was such a long intro, and I ain't even shared the scripture yet. Okay, so if you're holding that against me, here's your scripture. 2 Timothy 4:3-5. It says, for a time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers or followers or influencers or that will say what their itching ears want to hear. Kind of scary, huh? Verse 4, it says, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of the evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. In the New Living Translation, that verse 5 is a little bit easier to understand. It says, but you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid to suffer for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and faithfully carry out the ministry God has given you. Okay, so I think in this first part, this time has already begun. Like this is, you know, I see people surrounding themselves and, you know, churches that are accommodating, you know, what people want to hear versus what they need to hear, right? And like I said, you've probably been offended in something I said. I think. If not, give it a little bit of time to marinate. Like, there's going to be something. They'll be like, man, that joker, you know what he told me? You'll be telling people at lunch. That's how you know you're offended. Like, man, you know what pastor said today? And you ain't saying, bless the Lord. All right, you're like mad about it. Because it deals with the heart. It deals with the carnal nature. It goes against the worldly culture that we're being programmed to believe is okay. But we need to be offended when we're not being taught the truth of God's scriptures. To when we're not being held to a high standard. Where your Christian buddies are around you letting you do stupid stuff that you ought not be doing. And don't say anything. Say, man, what are you doing? That's not Christ-like. We're supposed to be brothers and sisters. And, you know, I mean, I hope not in this church, but I know that ladies can get in a gossip circle. If it's a gospel circle of a whole bunch of Christians, we got some serious problems breaking down right there. Yeah, you tell me how you feel, right? It just keeps on breeding. And it's like, somebody needs to shut that down. Somebody needs to say, hey, listen. It says let no unwholesome talk, right? We should be covering each other rather than exposing each other. I understand there's a level to vent. But you don't need to shout it from the rooftop. God forbid you put on social media. Okay? But we have to make sure that we are not surrounding ourselves with what we want to hear. We need to surround ourselves with sound doctrine. But I believe it's already begun. Okay? People get offended or they don't like what somebody says. They just quit following you. You know, this cancel culture is crazy. Had somebody tell me about that. I said, man, I'm glad I live in Texas. It's a little freer, but that doesn't mean that we can't get to the place of where cancel culture is like operating in our churches in Texas, right? We got to stand for what's truth, right? We got to stand for like what we believe as a biblical truth, okay? So we're all called as God's sons and daughters to go against the flow, to say and do what is not always popular, and to stand against anything that is not based on the truth of God's word, what he says in his word, okay? But it says, keep your mind. That means don't get frustrated. Some of y'all getting way too mad at people who are pursuing, you know, worldly perspectives or pursuing this, you know, worldly culture, this secular mindsets. Like, you're like, you should know better. I mean, you know, what I've really been challenged with lately, and you probably hear me saying this way too much, is we are judging the world like they're a Christian. And we get mad because they are not Christ-like, but they are not yet sons and daughters of God. Now, the other side, this is super dangerous. When you call yourself a Christian and you are still living like the world, willfully choosing lifestyles or habits or associating with people who say I'm a Christian yet live lives of lawlessness. This is very, very dangerous because, you know, the other side of that is, you know, and this is where I get fearful, like as a pastor, it says like, A brother or sister who confesses to be a follower, which yet embraces a lifestyle of destruction, it says to actually first go to them, let them know, hey, man, that's not okay. They don't listen to you, take somebody else. That don't work, bring them before the church. At that moment, you kick them out. But this is somebody who's saying, I am a follower of Jesus. I believe that Jesus died. I am a follower of God, yet is practicing lawlessness. But I tell you what, in this culture, in this Western culture, in this convenient church mentality, we might see more of that than we ever have. So what do? We hold our lifestyles to a biblical pattern, not doing whatever we think is right, not doing what's popular, but doing what is biblically correct, okay? Luke 15:1-2, Jesus was actually criticized for being a friend of sinners, right? But like Jesus, God wants us to have a transformational influence in the world around us, not the other way around. We want to be influencers. We don't want to be influenced. So it says also in that passage, it's okay to suffer. It's okay to not be liked by everyone. How many people have a hard time not being liked? A little bit, right? You're like, man, I don't want people to like. People, man. Hey, anybody ever tried to look at a friend that you ain't seen in a long time, you realize they unfollowed you? You didn't even know they weren't following. Like, man, I thought we were friends. I'm still here following you, but you ain't following me. Your heart's all broke, right? Like, it's okay to not be liked by everybody. You know, like, I believe that if we are saying and communicating Christian things, you know, and we're supporting biblical standards, you know, people are not going to want, that are wanting to live in the world and live worldly, it's not going to be popular to them. Right? But this is part of being different. This is part of standing out, okay? It says, keep on telling the others the good news. Keep doing the ministry that God has given you. There's still the work to do. Like, we don't just sit here and grit our teeth and pray and say, I just can't wait for Jesus to come back. Right? In the meantime, what do we do to have a counterculture perspective, okay? So this was Jesus's perspective in his role in affecting the culture. John 17:15-18. It says, my prayer, and he was praying for the disciples, he's praying for us, but he says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world, or not of it. Verse 17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. I'll give you another scripture, 2 Corinthians 6:16-18. For we are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will live with them and will walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Verse 17, therefore, come out from among them or from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. Okay, so we see there's a condition there. Come out from this, you know, live a separate life. Don't touch any unclean thing. Now, we know there was laws, there was customs, there was things that made people unclean, but it can be the same thing. Don't get close to those things that contaminate. Don't get close. And you know what they are, man. Like, think about, and we're going to be real and raw for a minute. Like, the things where you, like, grieve yourself after you do it, or you do something wrong, or you make a poor choice. You know what I'm talking about, where it's like that gut-wrenching, you know, it's that conviction, and you're just like, oh. And you start calling yourself an idiot, and you get so frustrated at yourself, right? I'm talking about, like, you make a dumb decision, and, you know, we don't want to stay. We want to get away from those things. But it says don't even touch it. Like, I think, sadly, what we're doing, we're not touching it. We're like, playing with it. Well, I couldn't help it, Pastor. Like, tell me how it happened. I'll tell you what, if you're not even touching it, if it's nowhere in your house, if you're not even on location with it, right? Let me use a real, real simple example. Let's say you got a problem with debt, but you keep using your credit card. Well, if your credit card is the first card you see, it's real easy, right? What happens if you give me your credit card? Man, I can't do it. I can't keep recreating the same thing. What happens if we get the credit card and we don't just have the credit? Because just because I have the card, I can still keep using it, right? What happens when I cut the card in half? Oh, man, I can't. What are you doing? Okay, now we've removed it. What if I didn't even have the card to begin with? Now, I gave you a really, really simple, easy example because we know we got a lot more important things that we're dealing with, not a credit card we need to cut up, but there are things in our life that we are getting too close with, that we are entertaining, you know, that we have to separate ourselves from because we ought not look like the world. Man, you know, I've heard that said way too often. You know, the church looks so much like the world. Now, I hope we kind of go through like hills and valleys of that, right? Because, you know, man, super cool testimony. We've had a few salvations the last few weekends. They told me we ran out of Bibles, so I ordered more. I said, man, we're going to have Bibles. We're going to help people grow. I was like, thank you, Lord. I mean, like, we do a lot of cool stuff. I get really pumped up when that happens. Because to me, it's making life-changing choices. It's committing to these things. But we have to separate ourselves. We should be different. And then verse 18, it says, and I will be your father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Okay? So I'm going to give you quickly four ways to keep, you know, a clear cultural perspective. How do I see culture for what it needs to be? How do I adapt it? How do I change it? Number one, keep it biblically based. I've already said that a handful of times. Keep it crazy simple where you always, the first question you ask is, what does the Bible say about that? Not let me Google it, man. I tell you, we're Google monsters today, right? Like, how many of you Google something? Hey, what did it? Hold on. Well, Google says, right, you know, or asking our phone, like, you know, we're asking other, but we're not saying, you know, Alexa, what does the Bible say? You know, Alexa ain't going to give you the Bible reference. I don't think them Alexas are trying to build the kingdom, right? Trying to sustain a broken world. But ask the first question, what does the Bible say? So when the Bible is clear, and this is what I was saying, when we think about doctrine or we think about mindsets or we think about what we believe is truth, when the Bible is clear and it is supported across multiple passages of Scripture, know that it's probably pretty accurate and a good biblical stance to take. Oh, man, I'll give you one, and this one, you know, this one kind of will tip the scales. I don't want to get lost in the weeds, but, you know, there's some that believe women can't preach, should not be able to preach, should not be released in the church to preach, but then there's other ladies that were apostles and prophets and, like, were the voice of the Lord. Like, now, I think everything should be done under the authority of God, right? How many of you know having a rogue lady ain't no good? I'm just playing. Come on. I don't know your stance on this. Like, you know, if you see somebody stand up, throw a stone, let me know so I can dodge. Like, listen, I'll tell you what, there is so much gifting in the ladies in this church, we would be robbed if we don't let them serve. I'm just telling you, man, we're going to wear out. We're going to be like, I ain't got nothing else. We done preached all the messages we got. Honey, you got anything? And she says, yes, sir. Right? And ladies always got something to say. But it's a benefit to the church. It's a blessing to the church. I'm just telling you. Like, you know, like when I look at that, I was like, why would not? I don't know what was happening. I guess they were on the back row chattering, making a whole bunch of noise. Hey, be quiet. If you have a question, ask your husband when you get home. Perhaps is how that passage went. Right? But they'll use that one all day. You're not allowed to preach. It says, remain silent. If you have any questions, ask your husband when you get home. It's in there. But if I base it just on that scripture, but I don't say, well, there was a prophetess over here. There was one that prophesied over here. Man, they were servants. They were the first one at the tomb. The women were the first one that, like, I mean, like, I started looking at all this and said, hey, man, like, listen, you may get offended by it, you may not allow, but you're going to rob yourself of a great blessing because I have tasted and seen what happens when you share the pulpit with ladies, right? I'm not saying that, you know, I don't know. It's hard because, like, I think where it is, like, should there be a lead pastor that's a female? I asked the question, you know, like, the one that rattles me, like, should the president of the United States be a female? You got any stones? We're okay? Put them down. Okay, think about this, though. Like, God's hierarchy, he always positioned man as the head. I'm basing this biblical. I'm not being, you know, chauvinist. I'm not trying to say, like, this is because I think y'all can't do it. You know why women lead so much? Because we got passive men not doing what they should be. And the women stand up and says, hey, I'll do it because this guy just he ain't cutting it. I'm just telling you, that's why it happens a lot of times. But if the man will stand up, and I believe when we look at the hierarchy of how God has established the home, of how God has always established the order, even in the Garden of Eden, man was created first, then he was sent a helper. Like, so, okay, so I'm going to stop because, like, I'm going to get somebody. If you ain't offended, you're offended now, okay? That wasn't the point of this message. But when we look at it, I'm looking at what it is. Okay, well, it happened like this, and she came alongside, and I start piecing all the picture together, and now I make an assumption. I don't say it says be quiet and don't preach. That's what I'm talking about when it says, look at the support of across the passages of Scripture and then make a biblical supported idea based on Scripture. Asking the question, what does the Bible say? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That's why we use the Bible. It helps us. It's teaching, it rebukes, it corrects, and it trains in righteousness, leads us to that place of righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every single good work. If we are students of the Word, if we allow the Word to do what it's intended to do, we're going to be okay in every single situation, every good work that it goes before. So number one, keep it biblically based. Number two, keep in mind that the enemy is striving to cloudy your clarity. He wants you confused, right? Some of us don't need a lot of help with that. We're already kind of confused, right? Trying to figure this out, Pastor, right? And trying to get it all together, right? You know, but the enemy wants to come in and he wants to cloudy the clarity, okay? He's the author of confusion and deception. So, but Jesus, he already prayed. He said, I pray that you'd protect them from the enemy. He knew that he was going to be out to get us. So stay under that covering. Do you know that the greatest question that this Gen Z generation is asking? They are looking for identity and belonging. What the heck? Identity and belonging. Now, I think maybe we haven't reinforced it to where we are allowing them to find their identity and find their place in the church. I'll tell you what, we are trying to use this next young generation as much as we can, as you're willing to commit. Right? Angel Crystal, appreciate you guys opening the services more. Like, I'm waiting. I'm looking for people that will show up when they say they're going to be there. That won't make excuses. Well, Pastor, I don't know. I got a tight schedule. You can't. I mean, we're scheduling this like a month and a half out. There ain't nothing on your schedule, I promise. Y'all don't schedule that far out. Just telling you, like, you can just can you say yes? I don't know, man. I had a young kid. I was trying to get him to help me. Something goes, well, I don't know, man. I got to get my reps in the gym. And I was like, shut up, say yes. Like, they don't want to commit. They don't want to be tied down by nothing. I was like, man, this is like a good thing. It's not like I said, hey, go cut the 5 acres with a pair of scissors. Right? I mean, these are, you know, but so I think maybe this identity, maybe this belonging is we're not allowing them to play in some of the critical roles in the church like we should be. We need to give them a seat at the table. They have great, you got your generation, you got great value. You just need a little bit of guidance and hear that right. Great ideas. You do things faster and better than we do it. Right? Let me show you how to do this thing on that smartphone. Here you go, and you hand it back, and you're done. Reprogram the whole operating system in like seconds, right? And your grandpa's like, what'd you do? I can't get in my phone. Put your thumb on it. Just look at it, right? You know, all that stuff. It's super funny. Like, all right. So I think when we allow them into what we're doing and being part of the church, they will find that identity. They will find that belonging. But God will always tell you who you are, but the devil will always convince you of who you're not. And that's why it's important to read the Scripture. When the Scripture says that, man, you are the head and not the tail, you were created with purpose and a plan from birth, right? That's before you can mess it up, brother. Like, you didn't get born and messed it up. God already perfected what he wanted you to be while you were in your mother's womb. He had it figured out. Well, it was an accident. You don't understand, Pastor. Guess what? God uses accidents all the time for great things. You're right on time. You were going to be born when he needed you. Okay, so we're going to talk about purpose next week. I don't want to get ahead of that one. But this identity and this belonging is found in and through our relationship with God. Mark 8:23-25, you know, this example is the blind man. He says, do you see anything? And he looked up and he said, I see people, but they look like trees walking around. Once again, Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were open and his sight was restored and he saw everything clearly. God wants us to have a clarity of vision. He wants us to see. He wants us to be able to see what is ahead, that we won't be deceived or distracted or perhaps not see where we're going. So ask God to help you see clearly with the things that seem blurry. Okay, number three, keep to the truths of Scriptures, not the opinions of others, okay? So this goes back to biblical truth. What is truth? What is not truth? If the Bible doesn't give you the specifics, be okay not knowing everything. I didn't see nothing about this eclipse. Yet we had mad scientists coming out from all over the woodwork convinced that this is the end. We don't know. Right, we don't know. You know, it's not going to give us guidance. Be okay not knowing everything. You know, I always say if God does something, he speaks something to your spirit. I mean, you can say it, you know, but I always say, you know, the accuracy is, you know, in the follow through of what was being spoken. Right? Did it happen? Did it come to pass? I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of people hear a lot of different things. But John 17:17, it says, sanctify them by your truth, and the word is truth. Hear that? You got to hear that. The word is truth. TikTok is not truth. Old schoolers, Facebook is not truth. You know, the old schooler's like, oh, I'm old because I have Facebook. If you only have Facebook, yes, you're old. If you got MySpace, I don't even know how to log it. I don't lost my. If you're still in MySpace, you got all kinds of space because ain't nobody in that space no more. Okay, they moved on. They left you in your own room. Okay, all right. So always base it on biblical truth. Support what God is for, not what God is against. You know what is biblical, what is truth, according to the Bible, not according to other people's folly or opinion. Okay. Lastly, keep yourself from the world and keep being separate. Okay, so be seen as different. The worse that the world gets, the easier it is going to be to identify the true followers of Jesus. It's just clear. It's like, man, this dude is like completely going against the flow. This person is completely different. Like, you stand out like a sore thumb, right? You know, you're very obvious to where it's like, man, like. You know, probably towards the end, we're all going to look like the hyper-Christians, right? Because the world is so chaotic, okay? So in Scripture, we let Scripture guard our path. It helps us as it goes before us. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything else you do flows from it. 2 Corinthians 16:17, therefore come out from them and be separate. The same passage we just shared earlier. Come out from them and be separate, right? Should be really, really obvious. So the goal here is not to be like everyone else, but to actually be drastically different. Not just so you can be like, look at me, I'm a Christian. No, but because, you know, that we are living lives that are based on biblical truth. We're being obedient to scriptures, and God blesses that, right? You know, like, don't be mad because God's blessing the biblical principle, right? You know, you get good results because you're doing biblical things. You do worldly things, you get bad results, you get bad consequences, and you're all kinds of mad, and you're asking God, how come, Lord? Go back to the Bible. That's how come, right? You know, like, you're doing things you shouldn't be doing. So let that, be separate from all of those things. God is not concerned on popularity as much as he is your obedience. So just take that. All right. So the goal of having a clear biblical perspective, it's not an escape from the world, but it is a goal to try to change the world as long as we got breath in our lungs this morning. Having that right perspective is having a solid foundation in which we can discern, we can decide, and we can believe what is good, what is right, from a Christian-centered worldview, okay? Ways to avoid compromising, you know, what's right in an ever-changing world. Always stand on what the Bible says. I don't know when the last time you read your Bible. Hey, it's a good week to start. Back at that, you know. Man, I hate reading plans, but I love reading plans, but I hate reading plans. I was doing so good, man. And then I was like having to read like a whole lot of chapters to catch up. And then I derailed again. So now I'm like 3 books of the Bible, Lord, behind. Like, it's just being vulnerable. It's hard, but listen, tomorrow's a good day to start over. You can't change what you didn't do, but you can change what you do now. Okay? When you're a student of the word, you're easily going to know what's right or wrong. Or, man, you'll start having scriptures rise up and say, oh, man, you can't do that because this passage or this scripture. You'll start, but you'll immediately, your brain will base it on a Christian worldview, not a secular worldview. So here's our heart. Here's our prayer. Change me so I can change the world around me. Can you stand up with me? We can get out of here. Because we can't really change culture from inside the four walls of the church. Culture is changed by getting outside the four walls of the church and doing something with what we've learned to be true. Okay. Now, I would encourage you, man, if you want to be an influencer and it's going to come from a biblical perspective, do it. We need more of that. Got a lot of crazy stuff, you know, that's out there. And it's subtle. It's not always blatant. You know, it's not like you're watching like, hey, how to be a devil worshiper. Like, it's not that blatant. But I'll tell you what, every now and then my kids will be listening to something or watching something. And I'll hear, oh, hey, what are you watching? Well, me and Becky come in hot. Like, we're like here, like, is that something you subscribe to? And then it's like, and that's how the story goes. And then they're grounded for technology for the rest of the day. That's kind of the cycle at the Connell house, right? It's like, what are you watching? I don't know, Dad. We don't know either. Ain't nobody knows, but the devil knows what you're watching, right? It's subtle. It's subtle things, right? It will subtly creep in. So what is it today that has contaminated your cultural perspective? That's the question we want to walk away. What needs to change? What safeguards do we need to put in place? What lie did we believe? What lie did we believe? But today I really believe that God will reveal all truth. Man, if you're like, man, I got to delete this app like right now. Do it. You don't want an app sending you to hell. I'm just saying, like, is it that valuable? Man, I don't know. Thought it was. Just be obedient. See people taking breaks from social media all the time. But what if we just didn't take a break from social media, but we made a commitment to follow the Bible and read the Bible and unbiasedly, you know, with committing our whole life to having a Christian biblical worldview. So we ask him, change us so we can change the world. And I'm going to pray according to this scripture, John 17:15-18. My prayer is not that he takes us out of this world, but he protects us in the meantime. Protects us from the evil one. We understand we're not of this world, but that he would sanctify us. How do we get sanctified? It says sanctify them by the truth. We are sanctified when we know the truth. He sent us into the world, right? But there's something for us to do. So when we receive Jesus, we are justified. What that means is we are no longer seen as sinless. We're made perfect. We're covered by the blood. That's the work that Jesus did on the cross. And then this sanctification, this is being made righteous. This is doing the right things and stop doing the wrong things. This is a process throughout a lifetime. And then at the end, when we breathe our last breath or Jesus comes back, there is a glorification. That means we are going to eject off this planet and we're going to go to heaven and the new world that God has created for us. So today, I hope that you have a relationship with God. If not, that's the most important thing you're going to do today. Now change your worldview. Get on the right rock, okay? Get on the right foundation. Can we get our prayer team to come up? Maybe there's some areas that you do need some sanctification. You need some clarity. You need some illumination. Maybe today God is convicting you of a sin or something you are doing in the name of, you saying you're a Christian, but there is something that you are still tolerating that you need to get rid of right now. Only you know what that is. And guess what? Nobody sent me a sticky note said, hey, call out these sins today. Right? I mean, like if you're feeling guilty or you feel like there's some conviction, let the Holy Spirit deal with that. He knows what he's doing in the room. And then start living life like it was your last with urgency, with an intentional spirit, but be different and make a difference. Amen? Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. Lord, I pray as we go through this, just adjusting our perspective of culture, of worldview, of purpose, of all of these things that you've called us to, Lord. We ask that today we would have a clear perspective. Lord, I ask that today that you'd illuminate any dark area, anything that needs an adjustment. And Father, I thank you, God, that every day is a new day to start afresh and new. And Lord, I thank you that you are, Lord, a God of the first time, but you are a God of the reset. Lord, you hit that one button, man, and you give us another shot. So, Father, I pray that today we'd be a people that please you, that are always found about our Father's business. Father, Lord, I pray that each one under the sound of my voice, Father, that they would not leave this place judged or condemned, but they would be loved. But, Father, that they would be drawn to your heart. And, Father, that there would be a radical boldness in their life if there's anything that you're bringing to their attention that needs to change or they need to let go of, Father, that you'd give them the grace and the strength to let go of that. And just like Jesus said, go and sin no more. That we can actually have that Holy Spirit power to walk away from those things. Father, I bless each one here under the sound of my voice. I pray for a great week. Not because maybe anything special, but just because you're a great God and we get to serve you. Do we get to experience that? So we love you. We bless you. We thank you for salvation. And Father, I pray that as we go from this place, we take salvation to the world and we make a difference in our culture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you've been encouraged and empowered. If you'd like to know more about our family, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/HTC Bay City or find us on the web at harvesttimebaycity.com.